Only believe you are a strong and faithful church. And I just want to remind you that we are proud to be your pastors. You know, it's good to go away, but I miss my family when we're gone. I'm going to be honest with you. Did Pastor Tim take good care of you? I figured he would. Well, we're going to do our best to start right where Pastor Tim left off today or last week. And I know it's been a long time getting through our six basic doctrines because we've had so many little hiccups, whether it's Pentecost, we needed that, right? Father's Day, Mother's Day, but a couple more weeks and we're going to get through this. So let's go ahead and start in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, verse 1 and 2, which is the foundational scripture that we've been using. And I want to tell you, get your fingers ready because there's so many scriptures that prove the topic that we're talking about today. And I can't imagine laying doctrine without giving you scriptural base. I've thought of a lot of ways to make this fun and exciting. It's not. It's like learning your arithmetic. It's the way it works, people. So let's start in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Here's what it says. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we do not need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms or the laying on of hands or the resurrection of the dead. That's where we're going to focus today. And eternal judgment. So we learned in the beginning that just as the word repentance from dead works could mean more than one thing, so could the word baptisms, and so can the word resurrection of the dead. Why? Because resurrection of the dead is not only one time. We could start with Jesus, we could go to Lazarus, we could go with the witnesses that are going to be raised from the end in the end of time in the book of Revelation. We can talk about the church being resurrected. But today, I want to talk to you about the two types of resurrection that this scripture alone is talking about. So let's go to John, the fifth chapter, 28 and 29. Here's what it says. It says, don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. This is Jesus speaking. For those of you that have a red letter Bible, this should be in red. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own. So we see here that we shouldn't be surprised that there's going to be a resurrection and the graves are going to open up. But let's go a step further, because it didn't specifically say whether the righteous would be raised and then the unrighteous would be raised. So we're going to define that. So let's go to Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 15 and 16. It says, I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous. Because of this, I will always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. To not believe in the resurrection means that you and I don't believe in the power of the living God. Do you understand that? If they don't believe that Jesus was resurrected, or they don't believe that we can, then they don't believe that Jesus was. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was the first fruit. This is a backbone of our Christianity. And we have to understand that it's real. It's a physical resurrection. So let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Now I got to get acclimated to the new mic. It says, first chapter, first verse, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. In order to doubt the resurrection, in order to say that it never occurred, is to doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. This is why these doctrines are so important, because they're literally stitched together to tell you and to teach you why and what you believe. It's not enough. The resurrection of the dead is proof. Someone say proof. Jesus' resurrection was proof that you and I base our faith upon him being the Son of God, and that because he was sinless, death could not hold him down. Now, because of Christ's sinless nature, and because when we ask him into our heart and to forgive us of our sins, because we die to sin. We are baptized we are resurrected through his baptism, just what you saw happen today. And we are resurrected into new life. You and I, because of the price Christ paid, will be resurrected at the end of this time and put into a heavenly place with an eternal life. Why? Because of what Christ did. Paul teaches us this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I told you your fingers were going to be bleeding by the time we're done today. It's good for you to know your books and where it's all at, too. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 24 is telling us that Jesus is the first fruit. Let's look at this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, which is who the sin came in through, the first man, everyone who belongs to Christ, the man that was dead and resurrected, Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Now, the word there is that when he comes back, not if, not maybe, not someday soon. It's when my Christ returns, I will be resurrected if I've died. If I haven't, I'm going to go in a blaze of glory like I am. Lord just won't have to do as much work. You guys didn't even get that. Oh my gosh. My mom used to sing a song to me. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms play pinochle on your snout. It was awful. It was all about being in the grave. I'm like, Mom, I know it's crazy, but I remember that. Why? Because the body is going to die. It's going to decompose. It's going to be ugly. But God, in the spirit of resurrection, and because Christ was our seed, do you get that? They laid his body in the ground as a seed for many. If there's one resurrection and he was the seed, then there's going to be a second resurrection, and I am the harvest of his seed. Amen. And with that expectation, I'm looking and I'm waiting for Christ to return to get me as his bride, where every grave will open and they will go. Amen. Woo! I get excited about that. All right, let's go on to 35 through 39. 20 through 20. Yeah. In the same chapter. Okay, we're going to keep going. It says, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? I wondered that. But then look what it says. What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant until it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives. Someone say, then God gives. It, the new body, he wants it to have. You know, you don't get to choose what you get. Sometimes life is what God chooses for you. And sometimes a little bit of us need to get our will out of the will of God and allow him to move into our life what he wants us to have. Someone needs to hear that today. That's hard on you. That's hard. But you know what? God says, I can have the desires of my heart, and I can, as long as it is lining up with his will. God's never going to give you anything that he does not know you can either do, or you might not see something behind the scenes that he knows that is wrong with the situation that you're very asking for. Know that God's goodness and his grace is for you. He wants what's best for you, right? But I'm telling you right now, church, that he gives us a new body. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Let's go down to the 42nd verse. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised to glory. They are buried in natural human bodies, but they will be raised as a spiritual body. For just as there are natural bodies, there are spiritual bodies. Go on down to verse 50. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. When the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our die, did you hear that? We who are living will also be transformed. Do you know how many years ago Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church? Let Paul be the example that you and I would say, we will be the last people that God will come back for, and we will go alive, not in a grave where we sleep, but we are expecting the return of our Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to be resurrected before this body gets crepey. Jesus, help us, Lord. For when the trumpet sounds, and it says, and we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Amen. Christ is coming for a bride, and when he does, we will meet him in the air. Let this be a part of your doctrinal study, that when people say that Christ's second coming, that's not coming. This time, Jesus meets us in the air. We come up out of the graves, and we leave, just like the great apocalypse. How many of you have ever seen the movie Left Behind? Oh my, okay, I gotta get me a new movie out now. That means I'm old and you're not watching those movies no more. Well, he comes like a thief in the night, and he takes the people that belong to him to protect them and save them from what is about to ensue. But the second he comes and the trumpet blows, we seek him and we rise up out of our graves and meet him. Therefore, Christ never touches the ground. If you get this, he is the head of the church. The church is what's being resurrected. The body of Christ meets the head of the church in midair, and now it is complete. Now he's ready to go back to heaven, bring on some judgment of the saints of what we need, not judgment for sin, but a rewarding system like the last day of school when you show up and you get all the certificates for what you did, for what you did. For what you did. Did somebody hear that? Our faith is not built on works, but I'm telling you that faith will cause you to work for the Lord, and it will cause you to steward your life in a different way. Therefore, because we know that death is bound to happen and a resurrection is coming, we're going to do our best to live a life of purity, to steward the things that we've been given. Why? Because there is a day when every man will give an account for what you and I have done. Amen. Amen. Let's go to John, the third, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Whew. I know I'm throwing tons of scriptures at you, but by the end of today, no one will be able to throw you off course that there is not a resurrection of the dead. It says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears." In other words, you don't know what this new body is going to look like. And anyone that's telling you doesn't know, right? Get all these extraterrestrial UFO pictures of what you're going to look like and how you're going to look out of your mind. Because no one can tell us, just written in the scripture, no one knows what we're going to look like when we see Christ. But we know we're going to be like him. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Let me tell you something. God is looking for a church that's going to be pure. He's not looking for a church that's going to play around with the world. And I'm telling you this, church, because I want you to be on the right side of the resurrection of the dead. I don't want you left in your grave when Christ blows the trumpet and no one else hears it but those who are alive in Christ. And that trumpet calls, and it's the call that we've been longing for, whether in the grave asleep or whether alive in this life, I want to hear it when the trumpet calls. Amen. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to see in a twinkling of an eye cars left on the side of the road. It says that in the days of Noah, they'll be working in the field and one will be gone and the other one will be left. I don't want to be at dinner with someone and all of a sudden the person I'm eating dinner with is now gone. And I'm left there. I don't want that to be me. I want to be in the resurrection of the dead. I want to be the one that lived her life like God had asked her to, that answered the call, that continued steady all the way through my life, that didn't lay down my purpose, that didn't lay down my call, that didn't give up when things got hard, but I persevered to the end so that he could look at me and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Amen, guys. We got to be a church that's on live and a fire for God to get to the end. Go on to verse 9, same chapter. This is what it says. It says, "Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because we are children of God." So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I could have done without that last part. Anyone who does not live righteous and does not love other believers. You know, sometimes, I'm just going to be real, I'm hard to love. Somebody say, "Pastor Nicole, sometimes you're hard to love." Be honest. Because you know what? Sometimes we as family, just look in your real family. Do you get along with everyone the same in your own family? Oh, no, you don't. I know you don't, because I got three kids. And they accuse me that I love one of them more than the other. They do. But you want to know what I've discovered? It's not that I love one more than the other. It's that I get along with one who is just like me easier than I do the other two who are just like him. And I already married my husband, and I got enough work to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you marriages know that marriages don't work without work. You got to put something in to get something out. Oh, I'm saying that for someone. You know what? You better start dating her like you loved her in the beginning. You want the same response from your wife? Start loving her like you did when you began. Oh, baby, I can't wait to come home. Yep. Start saying that. Wives, you want a husband that was like it was when you were dating? Then you've got to put in some investment. You don't get to take out of the bank for the rest of your life and only put in the first year you're married. You got to keep putting in. You got to keep making deposits. You got to keep telling him that he's everything that you want, that he's a good provider, that he takes care. I'm telling you, marriage is work, and it's okay that it's work. It's okay that you have ups and downs. It's not okay that you throw in the towel and quit. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some reasons to quit if you're in an abusive situation, but I'm telling you straight up, God designed marriage for a lifetime. Amen? I don't know why I got off on that. Okay, let's go back. Okay, let's go on to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Thank you for following through scriptures. You guys are being a trooper, because I am just throwing them out here like bullets. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 13th through 18th verse. A lot of these scriptures you know, but I want to bring them all into clarity today so that you'll see how they work together. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." Now, this is comfort for some of us that have lost a loved one. It says, "We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout." By the way, sheep know their shepherd's voice. That means when Jesus talks, we will know that is our shepherd, that is our king, and we will hear and we will respond. "For the Lord himself will come down with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds." This is where the word rapture comes from, rapatilio. "We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other in these words." Let me remind you, if you heard the trumpet and the grave has opened, you going up. There ain't no going back. There's no getting to heaven and then him saying, "Sorry, your ticket don't work. Go back." If you see the feet of others going up and you don't feel nothing on the ground, you going too. You can get excited. Amen. Because why? Because Christ paid the price for you and I's sin. You're going to find this out in the next 2 weeks. You are not judged like the unrighteous. You are judged by Christ himself, who paid your price, right? So you don't have to do that. Okay, let's go on to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to start winding down here. I didn't think I'd get this far. Praise the Lord. Whew. All right, we're going to go to 24th chapter, the 36th verse. It says, But about that day or hour, no one knows. Someone say, no one knows. Okay. So everything you see on the internet about Monday rapture at 7 o'clock, should you believe that? Anyone who says, I had a vision of the Lord on this day and time, should you believe that? You have a dream in the middle of the night. God gives you a date, a calendar time, and the sign that's in the sun, and you know whether it's going to be a bright, rainy, or shady day. Should you believe it and tell others? All right. Whew. Glad we got that done. No one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. That means nor Jesus, but only the Father. That means that if you were to get a dream that gave you a date and time, what God is saying, I would look at that date on that calendar and I would see how soon it was. And what it would be is a warning that God's return is upon you and you should be, number one, sanctifying and purifying your life to make sure that you go in the first load. And number two, that you should be living every day like it's your last, because God is telling you time is short. Same thing he told Paul 2,000 years ago. Did you get that? Everyone is to live their life like today is our last. If today was my last day, would I have left it all on the line for Christ and done every good work that I knew I could do according to what he has purposed and fashioned me to do by faith? How many of you could say, I've done that every day? See, none of us could. Why? Because we forget the very basic foundation and doctrinal truth of the resurrection of the dead, and that our day is coming and God is coming back. Do you realize that the prophetic words of Scripture in the church age, Jesus being the seed of resurrection, goes into the ground. He raises up from the dead, begins the church age when the Holy Spirit is given to the church. We are right now in the church age, but there's coming a time that the church is going to be raptured, caught up to meet the head of our church, which is Christ, and the body being imperfect, without spot or without blemish, because God can unite his Son to nothing that is not righteous and covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you and I become righteous, because of what Christ did. Not because I earned it, not because I deserve it, but because he called me his. I am Christ and I am his body and I will meet him in the air. But then something happens. These were only the righteous people that were pulled up out of their graves. And for 7 years, there's a tribulation that starts happening. 7 years. And I don't care whether you're pre-trib, post-trib, after-trib, whatever you are. I'm going to be honest with you. As long as you believe in the resurrection of the dead, I'm going to let you go. But I'm giving you a timeline that I believe. After the church is raptured and the Holy Spirit is removed. See, the Holy Spirit and the church is holding back unjustness. They're holding back sin and evil. The second the church is raptured, evil will begin to take over the entire world. And for 7 years, it's allowed to remain. And if God should tarry, he says that if I don't come back at the 3.5 year mark, they would not make it, meaning the people of Israel. But there's going to be people in that tribulation that choose to be martyred for the sake of Christ, that they won't take the mark, and that they may be beheaded, they may be killed, they may be crucified upside down, they may be drowned, they may be tortured, whatever that looks like, they will not forsake the name of Jesus. Those people have now died. So in the end, when we come back after the 7 year tribulation, there's another resurrection of the dead. That's why I said it's not resurrection, it's resurrections. And they're resurrected and they meet us where we go for 1,000 year reign. And then we all come back and we know what life looks like. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth that's established after the oceans give up their dead, after the graves give up their dead of everyone that's unjust. And now those people are judged at the great white throne judgment. You and I as Christians have no fear, to be judged because Christ has already taken our judgment. If you live your life according to the Bible and according to the word and you do your best in your heart, sometimes I'm going to be honest with you, I don't meet the mark every single time that there's a challenge in front of me, but every single time I put on a repentive heart and I run back to the throne of Christ. And when I do, he reminds me that I am enough. He reminds me that it's not because I can, but because he did. And because he went to the cross, I can now live a life that is sin-free and be taken to heaven and live my eternity with him. That's you and I's end. We don't have to be fearful of what we don't know is coming. What we have to be fearful of is not pleasing God with what we do and how we live our lives. Let our hearts be pure in what we believe. Let our hearts be pure towards others. Let our hearts be pure towards this world and love them enough to tell them the gospel message. Amen. I'm going to have to let some of these scriptures go on till next week, but that's okay because we're walking right into the judgment. But church, I'm going to lay out a timeline. Maybe I'll put a picture up for you next week. I found a picture of this time frame, and I think it will help you in your personal study that you might say when you don't remember, oh, what did Pastor Nicole say? But I'll show you the first resurrection of Christ, then the church age, then the resurrection of the church, and then the tribulation. It'll show you a timeline. I think that will help you. But today, before we go any further into what this is, you know, the Bible tells us that there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were unwise. And these virgins were meant to keep their lamps lit and the fire burning that they could see if their bridegroom was coming. Church, I'm here to remind you that you are the representation of those 10 virgins. And there are some that are wise and some that have chose the unwise way. Do you realize that was 50%? Of the virgins that were chosen? Would it be that 50%, we'll just use our church alone, is ready to meet Jesus and the other 50 are not? That there's 50% that are looking towards him with their lanterns lit bright and their wicks trimmed, meaning that they've shaved off all the burnt edges, all the darkness, all the stuff that needed to be burned out of their life so that their light could burn brighter and last longer and use less oil. The oil was a representation of what they had worked out in the spirit. Olive oil was expensive. It was valuable back then. But so is our time with the Holy Spirit, because there comes a time that no man and no woman will any longer be able to work out our salvation. What you got, you got. Whether it's good enough or it's not. Whether it's able to help you wait through the time. God forbid that we would be here through the tribulation. But if we are, do you have enough to stand and wait? The question isn't, well, thank God we're out of here, so I'm just not going to worry about getting all that olive oil. I don't need it in my lamp. I'm going in the first load. Well, let's hope that's the way it all pans out. Let's hope we've rightfully divided the scriptures. But if we haven't, would it be that our mind is on the easiest way out? Would it be that our mind is the less taking the path of least resistance? Because, church, I'm telling you, I want to be that lantern. I want to be the virgin looking for the Lord. I want to be go, do I see? Guys, he's coming. He's coming. I want my lamp so light that I can't help but see that he's coming. Stand to your feet this morning. I challenge everyone here to ask yourself which side of the virgins you're on. Maybe you've just gotten busy in life. Maybe you've just taken a back burner and you've stopped seeking and drawing near to the Lord because, I'm going to be real, you just haven't had time. Today's a new day. It's okay to restart. It's okay to recommit and say, Jesus, today. Pastor Nicole's message touched my heart, and I feel that draw. I feel that calling to come closer. Church, I'm telling you, Pastor Randy mentioned a couple Wednesdays ago that there's ashes of a red heifer that have to be sacrificed and burnt and put into the Jewish ashes of the last heifer that was found in the Ark of the Covenant years ago. I'm giving you a whole bunch of backstory. Before the war in Israel, these heifers were moved to a safe place. And they actually believe at this point in time that the one has already been chosen and sacrificed and that his ashes are awaiting. Do you realize that there's going to be a new temple built in one day? In one day, the Bible tells us. And all of Israel is going to be able to repent for all their sins because they're finally able to worship and sacrifice again. Remember, Israel is God's people and we are the Gentiles. We have accepted Christ as our Savior and our sacrifice, but they don't see Christ like that. So they still have to use an old sacrificial system. And until they are washed clean and their sins are covered, ours are washed away, covered, they can't meet Jesus. Church, there's nothing holding Christ back from coming except the church. He's waiting on us to get ready. He's waiting on every person to hear the gospel of Christ, to have the choice to say yes or no. Today, if you're here and you're saying, Pastor Nicole, I've not said yes and I haven't said no, I'm just in Maybeville. That's a no, because Maybeville don't make it to heaven. God says that if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. He's looking for a bride that is spotless and without blemish. And I'm not saying that I'm here because I'm spotless or not blameless. What I'm saying is he is spotless and he is blameless. And because of that cross, he died for me. He died for you. And that blood is there to wash your sins away, to wash that dirt off of you, not to cover it up, not to make you smell good and put on new clothes, but to wash it away and make you new. You can't do it on your own. Without the work of Christ, we would all be lost. I'm going to ask that today, if you're here in this house and you want to recommit your heart to Jesus, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about Christ, then today's your day. I don't believe you're here by chance. I believe you're here because God destined you to be here on this day to hear this message. And chances are the devil didn't want you to hear it because he thought we wouldn't go on without a sound system. And we did anyways. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you feel that tug on your heart today, then I'm asking you just to raise your hand up to me and let me see your hand. And we're saying, Lord, I just ask that you touch every heart and every mind and every spirit here today. I'm asking that you would cause them to awaken to the call of God in their life, that you would convict them, Holy Spirit, bring them to a place that they would receive and acknowledge that they need you. Is there anyone here in this house? Just slip up your hands. Says, Pastor Nicole, I've got to grow closer to God, and I know it. I want to come back home. Anyone who would say, this is my first time with Jesus, and I'm ready. I'm done running. I'm running to him this time. Praise Jesus. Anyone in this house? All right. Well, if you're not saved, I would not recommend you come back next week because we're going to be talking about judgment. You might get convicted again. But if you are, praise the Lord. That's a note to all of us. Go get someone that don't know Jesus, amen, and bring them into the house. I'm not going to teach judgment without an answer on the end of it next week. It's going to be for the righteous and for the unrighteous. And we're going to do it in love to teach people about the word, amen? Church, grab hands with the person next to you. I know it's a big Walton prayer, but I'm all about community, and I think that we belong together. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as we go along our week, Father, I'm asking, as I do every week, that you would bring someone to us that we could preach the gospel to. Father, help us to learn to break down fear and intimidation and to share the gospel message. I take authority over the devil. I take authority over your fear and your mechanisms that you try to get us to shut our mouths. We loose our tongues. We loose our minds to be able to share our testimony with others. God, that we would tell of the story of what God has done in and through and for us. God, help us to win our communities. Help us this week in our lives. Father, that we would put you first in everything that we do. God, help us to look forward to your return, your great expectation. Father, as we look forward to meeting our Savior one day, Father, shave off our wicks and keep them trimmed. Remove anything in us that would keep us from shining bright in our communities, our cities, our jobs, even in our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we're glad to be back home. We will see you on Wednesday, and I believe next week we will have an update.